Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. If you don't know what that is, it is where I, Kirk, and the other voice you will hear that sounds a little bit like a robot through a phone, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this here is a commentary episode of Season 6, Episode 21 of NYPD Blue. Now what that means is you can head over to Hulu, and I believe Amazon has brought back NYPD Blue in their catalog. Not for Prime, you have to purchase it. But as soon as this song is over and as soon as I'm done explaining what the podcast is, you can press play on that episode and you will be watching it just as we are as we recorded this episode. Once again, thank you very much for listening to the episode, and thank you for sticking around with us if you had. I know that the quality isn't the best, and I know that we've had a spotty release schedule, but I appreciate your listenership. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show. It helps people see it in the algorithm, and hopefully more people end up watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue, because that's really what all this is about. Anyway, talk to you at the end of the episode. Press play now!
Oh, shit.
Did you hit play?
I didn't hit play. No, yeah, I did.
What?
Vore dire this.
I think it's vore dire this. Or well, I don't know. It's some fucking lawyer bullshit.
Something Latin.
This is the cold open to Season 6, Episode 21 of NYPD Blue. It has Sipowicz in the shower staring at the wall.
My favorite scene.
Well, it's... All this is to just go over what we already know if you've watched the last episode. Sipowicz is going to have to testify. Yeah, you're going to have to turn it down a little bit. I could already hear it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right. Anyway, Sylvia is encouraging Andy to not worry about James Sinclair, who usually picks him apart at trials and whatnot. But also, what I noticed is the opening scene is filled with a lot of slurs. A lot of slurs. Just throwing around in the bathroom.
This scene, always when I watch it, makes me realize that, like, TV back then was, like, always skewed from the male's perspective. Because he's this gross blob in a shower. And, like... She's like this hot MILF, and it's just like, what?
She's this hot MILF, okay.
And he's just out here throwing out, like, slurs and shit, and she's like this respected lawyer who, like I don't know, it's just, like, total opposites. Like, no way should she ever, like, it's funny to me.
And then she gives the jerk-off sign, like, she wants to rip off.
Yeah, but then she's, like, right there, like, she knows exactly what to do to help him calm down. It's, like, funny. They're making fun of James... Ghirardelli's wig, all that shit, you know?
And now we're at the credits of NYPD Blue, and this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of NYPD Blue.
Who's Kyle?
You're Kyle, Kyle. You know this. So, this episode was actually one where I didn't write as many notes as I usually do.
Why not?
I feel like it kind of, like, a lot of scenes just repeat themselves.
Okay.
We'll get to it. I mean, the first couple scenes, there's basically one central idea, and we're just slowly pulling it out of this child who doesn't want to say what happened.
Yeah.
And a famous face. The child.
Who is it again?
It's the child.
Emile Hirsch.
Yeah, the child we're about to see is Emile Hirsch. And it even says right at the beginning, guest starring Emile Hirsch. But
dang, so he was even big at that time.
Yeah, he got top billing on the guest stars.
He got a guest star. He got a guest starring. He didn't get just including or featuring. It was guest starring.
Well, he does.
Ricky Schrodes.
Ricky Schrodes. Well, this...
Tip-tapping down the stairs.
What I love about this is, like, Shannon is seriously... His whole point is, like, I think the kid might have done something wrong to get this jacket.
No, I mean, we know this episode and all that, but, like, Shannon from the get-go was like, I think this kid blew this dude for this jacket. And, like, Ricky Schroeder just keeps walking around going, huh? What?
What do you mean?
Let me talk to him.
Wait, what do you mean? What did he do? What did he do? That kept happening a lot, too. What did he do? I'm trying to figure out what he did.
This is a crazy scenario for primetime TV right now.
Right? They believe this boy did something to get this jacket that's not savory, but they won't say.
He wasn't baking cupcakes. Like
he wasn't baking cupcakes.
You know what I mean? Like,
and we know.
Crazy. He does a good job, though. Emil Hirsch, this kid does a good job.
I was going to ask, does he do a good job?
Okay, I don't know.
Does he?
I think he does a good job before he has to start talking.
Oh, so less than half, maybe like a quarter of his job.
But no, isn't half of your job actually without speaking?
I don't know. To me, it just seems like they told him, okay, you don't want to tell us what happened. So he's just pouting and... He's just pouting and being an ass.
Aren't people who... When people are, like, sexually assaulted or taken advantage of, don't they kind of act like that? Aren't they shut off? And they're like, he won't look him in the eye. He won't talk to him.
Also,
he's, like, being very, very short and quick with him. Like, he's, like, what Danny's doing is, messing up his day and shit, you know?
Well, and also, I mean, victims of sexual assault tend to bring up Bosnia more than once in conversation. Which was...
Hey, you don't know, dude. You don't know. You don't know his life.
Which was weird that he was like, what is this, Bosnia? He's like, does Bosnia do that?
It's topical, dude. It was going on at the time.
Also, a very weird moment. I think the moment that Danny understands that something happened, which I don't even think we got there yet in the scene. He says,
"Do you want jumping the gun?"
Yeah, where he says, "Do you want a soda?" He's like, "What are you, a pervert?" Yeah, right here. What are you? He's like, "Hey, you want a soda or something?" What are you, a pervert? And then he was like,
I think I'm a little farther than you.
Farther into the episode?
No, I'm behind you.
Oh, okay. But. No. But it has one of my favorite lines of the episode, which is, "No, I'm not a perv. You want a soda?" Because it's just like, how many times in life are you going to have those two things set so close to each other? I'm not a perv.
And they call him an asshole.
Hey, kiss my ass.
And he says that a lot. Now, that's the line I think that makes you wonder if he's acting good or not. Because that line, to me, comes off, like, weird. Like, kiss my ass.
Well, it's, you know, I'm not an actor. We know this about me. I don't act. But, to me, I feel like they had a lot to hang on this performance. And I don't know if it's really one of the best of the NYPD Blue canon.
Well, you are right. It is basically Schroeder and him by themselves, you know?
For a long time.
So the scene has to be driven by him, and if he's not delivering, which, you know... But I don't know, man. He's also a kid who is, like, sexually assaulted. Like, he's going through something.
And I don't want to jump the gun, but, I mean, what he did... Because there's another line in this episode that literally made me laugh. Because it really separates the 1990s from the 2020s, I think, pretty well. but we'll get there.
It separates the men from the boys? No. Oh.
But really, Marcello, like, there's not even any tears. It's just like,
okay, first,
squinting.
That's true. He is not crying.
It's like they turned on the lights.
The half of his mouth is making the face like he is crying, but his eyes look like he's angry.
And he says he'll write down what happened if he could tear it up afterwards. That's where I've gotten.
That's not how it works. I got there too. That's not how it works, buddy.
Well, all I know is after seeing this intensity, I was like, this is the kid I want for Speed Racer. The Wachowskis Speed Racer.
this dude could drive a fake car. I could see it now.
He looks good in front of a green screen.
And then Ricky Schroeder's all fired up.
He's huffy and puffy.
He's pacing. He's probably got to put like 45 fucking cinder blocks in his pocket now.
The sick bastard makes him masturbate on a plate, and then he works himself out afterwards.
Wait. So the dude makes Marcello
jerk off onto a plate.
Onto a plate, and then he jerks off afterwards.
Yes.
That's a weird fetish.
Well, the thing, like, and you know, I am...
What does... Okay, go ahead, sorry, I don't want to interrupt you.
It's like, I understand that that is fucked up, for sure. But I think I would be more confused than angry. Like, I'd be pretty angry, but I'd be way more confused.
My question is, why do I have to come on a plate? So wait,
you're putting yourself in the shoes of Marcello, and you're like, why do I gotta come on to a plate?
I'm in the shoes of Marcello, all right? I'm walking down the street. Oh, should we pause here real quick? We should pause this.
You want to pause the episode?
Pause right now. Yeah, just pause it. Unprecedented. Okay. I've never done before.
Okay, we're pausing the episode.
Lost. Yeah, we're in the middle of Kirk and Dahl talking, but pause real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm Marcello, right? I'm doing whatever. How old is he? 14, 15?
I think 14, 15. I think is what they said.
15-year-old Marcello walking around the streets of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not doing anything that I'm supposed to be doing.
In need of a jacket.
Am I in need of it?
You're in need of a jacket. Need a jacket.
I'm in need of a jacket. And this man, grown man, walks up to me and says, "Hey, I see that you're looking at that jacket."
Because he buys the jacket with the money the dude gives him. So it could have just been out of the blue.
Got you. Okay, cool. So I'm just hanging around. And maybe it's this guy, Jim, that I know. Just randomly talk to. Weird old guy. He talks to me all the time. And then one day he's just like, "Yo, I see that you need some money. I got a proposition for you." And I'm like, "All right, Jim, what's the proposition?" He's like, "Well, you know, I'll pay you a good amount, but I want to watch you jerk off into a plate."
Mm-hmm.
"And then I'm going to jerk off."
Onto the plate. Onto the plate.
Oh, on the plate too?
Yeah, both of them got onto the plate.
Still don't understand the plate.
Oh, like, I don't either.
Is what gets you off is that our cum is together on the plate? You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I don't get about the whole cum on the plate thing. Like, what's the point of the cum on the plate? Like, is that should be a t-shirt. But like, is that the sexual gratification that dude gets? Like, is it the fact that, like, oh man, I'm gonna come, and when I come, my cum is gonna join this other kid, young kid's cum on a plate? Because other than that, like, because doesn't the guy enjoy watching Marcello jerk off, or is that just like part of it? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many questions to this.
Well, when we meet the perpetrator, because don't worry, we will. It seems like he wanted to create some distance between him and actually touching the child because he knows it's wrong.
Uh-huh.
But it is pretty awkward that he's like, "You know what's a good barrier? You know what separates? Dinnerware."
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. Because why doesn't he just tell Marcello, like, "Look, dude, I just want to watch you jerk off and just splooge anywhere on the floor. Because then I'm gonna splooge next on the floor, and then I'm just gonna clean it up."
But then it's if he has hardwood floors, maybe. But if it's carpet, you don't want to do that.
Oh my god! Are you kidding me? You think this man's doing this in a carpeted room?
I don't know where this man is doing this. All I know is he has plates at the ready for this situation.
The whole thing is the plates don't make sense to me. Why are you putting it on? You're only putting it on a plate unless it's. The only reason for the plates is the plates get him off sexually. Something about both of the cums being on the plate has to do something to him for those to be involved. You know what I'm saying?
All I know is that we definitely don't want to watch the part in Beauty and the Beast where they sing Be Our Guest with this guy. He'll probably just lose it.
Anyways, all right, press play.
Okay, hold on. What time are you at?
33:53.
Okay, I'm at 33:51. That's not that much difference. Okay, play.
Was taken by my brother detectives. I'm going to play now, and then I'll tell you when to play, okay? You ready?
Well, go. Okay, it doesn't really matter.
Kirkendall is being talked about the tape that she made out of her lipstick camera.
Yeah, because this is all about the Cullinan bust, where they busted him trying to murder a prostitute with drugs.
But the prostitute was a cop.
Yes. And both of Cullinan's lawyers are bald, and I don't know why, but they did make that decision based on a line from...
One of them's clinging to the sides, though. He's got the... I call it the Pete Hornberger.
The Pete Hornberger?
Is the character from 30 Rock, who's Liz Lemon's, like, line producer guy. He has, like, the haircut like that.
I was thinking the George Costanza, but I guess yours
is
more...
Oh, that's even better. Nope, it's the George Costanza, for sure.
Only for because sure. George Costanza has that line where he's talking to another bald man, and he's like, oh, you actually have pretty good coverage. He's like, well, what do I do? He's like, live! it was really funny.
So this is all like the boring stuff that like they do, like all the like Trade Federation talk in Star Wars. Like it's just boring court stuff.
The Trade Federation. Well, it's also to show you.
He just said the line Dior. The submission, Your Honor.
Well, he also says it again when Sipowicz finally makes his way to the stand. Basically, the judge is acting on whether he is...
They're looking at evidence.
Yeah, they're presiding on whether or not they're going to accept pieces of evidence.
Yeah.
And Cullinan's lawyers are doing the classic, like... Well, if you recall, 3.2 seconds of this video shows your hand not in the frame. So, is it possible you did some magic trick outside of the camera that nobody else saw to change the drugs and change this? And it's like, it's possible, but of course I didn't do that, because we're not fucking magicians. We're police officers.
Yeah, but no one saw it, dude. How do you know they didn't have a package ready underneath just to, like... When she put her hand out of the camera, she dropped it and picked it right up.
Well, the one thing that they did during the bust that I honestly think was going to come back to bite him in the ass was the thing they bring up now, ish, when when Kirkendall says to Cullinan, like, yeah, this was a scam. Also, is something clicking in the background?
It's the radiator.
Yeah, that's what that is.
There's nothing I can do about that.
But yeah, it's just his lawyers trying to worm their way out of certain evidence being admitted.
And I would have to say, Dolores's dad is just as creepy as Dolores was.
Well, they did a good job casting.
Oh, they did, because I think they have the same like if you just took the square of like where their nose and the from their eyebrow ridge to the bottom of their nose, and you just took that little area, they look exactly the same to me.
Yeah, they have a lot of the same facial features. And this is where he just has to get his digs in at Cullinan at the courthouse. And then even James Sinclair is like, get a bailiff to look after that dude. But you know who he looks like? I haven't seen the entire series, but every time I see Jimmy Mayo, Dolores Mayo's father, I think of Killer Bob from Twin Peaks. I don't know.
Also, I saw the first season. I couldn't tell you who the fuck that is. I started to watch the second season, and then I was like, well, what is this? And stopped. So,
ooh.
I don't know who Killer Bob is.
Here's where Cohen delivers news, and Danny freaks the fuck out.
Well, the kid has to... Well, Cohen is just basically being like, I can't do anything if the kid doesn't, like, speak on it, you know?
Is it a federally protected plate of some kind? Then, no, it's a misdemeanor. Like, what do you want me to do? Is it one of the plates for the U.S. Mint to print money? Then, no, there's nothing we could do.
Was it a plate hired by the police force? Then
it's assaulting an officer. We can give him the chair.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Don't you dare, like, hit a police horse, for fuck's sake.
And then Danny gets pissed that James is like, Fancy is like, clearly you're pissed off. We're going to wait for Martinez and Medavoy to get here. And he's like, oh, fuck. Oh, jeez. And he's like, Russell, let's go talk about it. I'm mad.
He's hot. These young kids getting molested, they run hot to him, man.
It's almost like they were saying, like, we got to get him as upset as, like, Sipowicz does when a kid is hurt. But, like, because Ricky Schroeder looks like a 10-year-old forever, it just looks like he has a tantrum no matter what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time.
But, yeah, then there's...
Here's him and Diane. There's been a lot this year in this season of, like, shots looking in the window.
And there's been
a lot of
There's been a lot of tension between them that seems incredibly over-manufactured. And then she touches his back, he gets a half chub, and he's like, I better leave.
No, that's the face of a man who got a full chub, dude.
That's a full chub face?
That's a splooge your pants face.
And then he looked at the plates, and he's like, I better get out of here.
They weren't fine china, though. It doesn't do it for him.
Oh, man. All of our jokes is going to make this scene fantastic. So they go to this guy's place.
This dude was in The Punisher. He plays one of the villains in the first season, and he does a really good job.
Oh, the Netflix Punisher.
Yeah.
You're talking about Paul Scholes. He was also in Rambo 08, Panic Room, and 24.
Yes, he was in Rambo 08. He plays a Christian missionary that tries to, like, basically, like, tell his Christian group to, like, we need to, like, not talk to Rambo. He's just giving us a ride. He's a lunatic, blah, blah, blah. Let's leave him alone. Like, shit like that. Like, it was great. That Rambo movie's fucking garbage, but it was great to watch.
We also forgot to mention...
Motherfucker stands on a hill and just, like, kills, like... Just, like, stands on the top of a hill shooting a minigun and just blows away, like, an entire army of, like, Cambodians, I think is where they are. Like, it's unbelievable, dude.
I want to get to this scene where he's like, I was just looking at your plates. And he goes, yeah, I saw. His plates are next to the bed.
So maybe it is a plate thing, dude. Maybe when he was younger, like, his mom, like, sexually assaulted him when he was, like, doing the dishes or something. I don't know. Because what does the plate have to do with it? What's the reason for the plate?
It is amazing. I wish we had enough of a fan presence. Or listener presence, that they would count how many times we said plate in this fucking episode. Considering what happens in this episode, and we've been talking about plates nonstop.
Kirk, I am so... I need to know, like, what is the significance of a plate? Like, why does he have to come on the plate? I don't get it.
Well, here's John talking to Jimmy. And Jimmy's
freaking out.
He's cracking.
He doesn't think it's going well.
And
he's spiraling.
And what's weird is, like, John is, like, telling him, like, yeah, they're connecting him to the drugs. And Jimmy is just like, he'll just die his way out, or die his, he'll buy his way out.
And the problem is like, Jimmy's a dumb.
Yeah.
But he's also, like, a grieving father, blah, 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 blah. But, like...
Meh, 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 out of grief.
The grief. My prostitute daughter died.
Wow. The children's book you never knew you wanted. Grief, my prostitute daughter died.
My prostitute daughter died. And every time you open the book, it makes that sound. No, he's just a dum-dum and doesn't know how it works. And, like, all he sees is, like, he just thinks the guy's not going to get punished. And I get it. He wants justice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what? He's not Batman, dude.
He's not Batman. And now here we have an awkward-as-fuck interaction where Danny's like, so where's Russell? He's like, well, she's in the bathroom. And then he waits for her to come out. He's like, do you want to check out on this kid? Do you want to check this kid? And then she's like, well, I did, like, 5 minutes ago. He's like, do you want to do it again? And she's like, sure. And he's like, oh, I'll do it. And it's like, what are we doing here, children? Like, what is this, a middle school dance? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. And then, like, Kirkendall's just sitting there going, like, get a room.
Kirkendall's like, Jiminy Christmas, guys.
Damn, are you ever going to take me to that game?
He's like, yeah, as long as we don't get anything on plates while we're there.
I need to know.
So here we go. We got Ronald Barrett and what's weird is, like, Ronald Barrett comes out of the gate hot with, like, these guys want me to kill myself. And we got a well.
This is a problematic.
Is it? It wasn't problematic at jerking off on plates?
I don't know where to go.
Well,
what's, I don't know where to go with this.
What's awkward is the guy is like... Well, one of the problems with this scene is it features a wannabe tough Ricky Schroeder, but he has the face of a child, which in theory makes this guy excited. So,
excuse you, have you seen his Instagrams lately? He is all types of tough.
Yeah, yelling at people who are trying to run a museum.
So you think this dude is sitting there half hard, half scared? Because Schroeder's yelling at him.
If he goes into that break room and sees some plates, I mean, it's game over, man. I think seriously, he's sitting there thinking, like, okay, I tried my best to not actually touch anyone, but I have this problem and I can't get past it. And these guys are reacting like most people do to child predators. They just want him to admit it, and then most of them want him to kill himself. But they can't, like, because of, like, the way it works, they can't just come out and say, like, what did you do? Just tell us what you did. They have to play this game with him. And then he just admits, yeah, I have a problem. And this is, like, the least I could do. But I just had to do it, and it's really sad, and now he says he's going to kill himself. Which is awkward.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's awkward because he's like, I'll either hang myself here or hang myself in jail, and then we have this line. Death in custody is a pain in the ass. Which is like...
That's just Metavoy, dude. That's just Metavoy.
That's the most, like, Dilbert thing anyone could say to a big dude who just said I wanted to commit suicide. Yeah, death in custody is a real pain in the ass, man. Could you, like, hold off?
That's just meta boy. Like, like, and the best thing about all of that is, none of that was, like, there's no, like, maliciousness behind it.
No, he was just like, I really don't want to do that paperwork. And then Martinez was even like, but don't lose the thought, though. Like, definitely think about killing yourself. But
Martinez is intense.
Definitely continue to want to murder yourself, but don't do it when it's going to be a burden on us. And now we have Russell working out with Marcello, really revealing that she would have been a great mother if, you know, that worked out with Bobby. Really getting on the kids' level.
I mean, like, I don't know. This whole plate thing has got me.
Oh my god. We're never going to get over the plate thing. We're never going to get
over. I've seen this episode probably at least 5 times. At least 5 times in my life. Probably more. And I've never thought about this plate thing ever until now.
You've never considered the plate thing?
Yeah.
Well, I just imagine that he was, like, distilling it down to, like, what is the least I could do, but I want to, like, I don't know. The dude's fucked up. Oh, here we enter, Tommy, Marcello's older half-brother. And I thought he looked familiar. He is an actor named Kai Lennox.
Yeah, he ain't nobody.
He was in a movie called Green Room that I enjoyed quite a bit. About a punk...
You and every other Nazi in the world.
Okay, the Nazis did not win in that movie, by the way.
Didn't they, Kirk? Didn't they win?
A lot of them were dead by the end of it. But I was like, I swear I saw this dude's face. Where did I see it? And then I saw that movie and the list, and I was like, well, I definitely saw that movie. It's probably where.
Who was he in the Green Room?
That is a great question. I didn't write down, and honestly, I don't remember the character names very much. Hold on. Let's find out. Kai Lennox. He was Clark in Green Room, and I believe that was one of the band members, not one of the Nazis. Apparently he was also in Rush Hour?
He was in Rush Hour?
I guess so, that's what it's telling me. Nope, he was one of the Nazis.
Of course he was. It looks like it.
Yeah, he was, yeah, I think he was the guy that was in charge of the dogs.
Charge of the dogs? What?
Oh, there were, dogs that the Nazis had trained to attack people. And he was the trainer, I think. And of course, they trained them with German expressions, because of course.
Well, of course. And let me guess, they were German shepherds.
Yep. You know what? You're right on the money. Now, here's the scene. Because we were distracted by Kai Lennox's part in Green Room. They basically promised the older brother, we'll get you a job repairing TVs if you take your kid brother back. And by the way, you know what helps with the methadone maintenance? Being in charge of another life. So just take this kid. And now there's this awkward ass conversation outside their room or the crib where Marcello is.
you know what helps with dealing with your drug addiction? More stress.
Well, he's like, it gives you a reason to wake up in the morning and then wish you'd go back to sleep, but don't have meth or anything. Also, the face that Russell makes before he kisses her, it's like, what in your mind was like, yeah, this is appropriate.
He says, oh, brother.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brother.
Don't say holy Toledo.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, I think we talked about it a little earlier before we recorded this. It seriously felt like almost like the end of season one of Community. They were like, let's have them kiss and see what the reaction is. And it's like, well, I hope the reaction was stop fucking doing this. Because it's weird and I don't like it. And then they also offered this kid a cheeseburger and they offered to buy him another coat. Like, this kid's coming out, like, on top after this whole ordeal. He's got a place to live. He's gonna get a new jacket when it gets cold. He's got a new father figure who's on methadone. He's killing it.
And all he had to do was come on a plate. Which I still don't understand.
Oh, goddamn.
They got his brother a job, too, which is nice. Hey, you get yourself a job and a kid. All in one day.
He thought his luck changed when he found $5. Now he's got himself a child. And then they awkwardly break off. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, he fucking, like, made a move on her at work. Like, what does he expect to happen right now?
Yeah, now because he did that, they're all going to have to take sexual harassment training. Well, not now, because it's 99. If it was a couple years after that, oh boy.
Yeah.
And then the other guys are like, hey, what's going on up there? And he's like, nothing, I'm half hard.
No, I'm about to go pull a Marcello right now.
Oh God, that sucks.
I still don't get the plate.
Cause he had it there, you know.
Maybe like if you really wanted to have like so the dude's whole thing was like I was trying to like have as much separation from me, the kid, and the sexual act as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want to touch him or whatever. I don't understand.
And then, and we just missed the part where Martinez is like, well, I mean, the cherry on top is this guy's going to murder himself down there. He just says it out loud casually. It's like, well, I mean, the silver lining, that pedophile's gonna kill himself.
Oh, my God.
And hey, if the Yankees win, then it's a pretty good day. Like,
it's
what?
It's a pretty good day. I'm gonna go fucking bet the lotto.
And then Danny's good deed is to go to this guy, not look him in the eye, but say, don't hang yourself.
Yeah, be a man. Don't hurt yourself.
Don't hang yourself. Just stop getting kids to jerk off on plates, dude. Like, it seems like you're close to getting there. just when you think about asking a kid to do that, don't ask. Like, you're already doing a lot better than some other guys. You gotta, it's obviously a joke. Get some therapy if you're into children. That's a problem. Talk to somebody, a professional.
Are there people that don't think that's a problem?
No, no, no. I think that they would think that I'm belittling how serious it is to be attracted to children by saying, like, oh, he's only asking them to do this. It's like, no, it's still a problem. I'm not saying it's not a problem. Get it worked out.
100%. I just don't understand the plate.
Well, right here we have Sylvia psyching Sipowicz up by reminding him how good his life is without ever thinking about James Sinclair.
Giving him a little peppy pep talk.
Getting him ready to go in there and lay down some heavy fire on Sinclair's ass. Also, it's a complete conflict of interest that she is the prosecuting attorney and she calls her husband.
Sure. Calls her husband?
Yeah, that would be thrown out, like, immediately, right? Like, I'm not crazy?
Yeah. I don't know if she could be the... Like, maybe if they had another attorney, that attorney could do the questioning. But, like...
She couldn't do that.
Yeah, like, I feel like... I just feel like that wouldn't work out, yeah.
And this, like, a whole, like, several episodes have led to this moment where Sinclair is grilling Sipowicz on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not as climactic as I would have wanted.
What you were waiting for, like, that first season?
Like, James Sinclair is great, and Sipowicz is great. I'm not taking away from their performances, but it literally is not very long, and it's just Sipowicz saying, yeah, I did those things, but that doesn't have any effect on what's happening now.
Yeah, I'm telling the truth now about James Street.
And the other important detail is that Jimmy Mayo left before he even heard the part where James Sinclair looks like an asshole in front of everybody.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't, like, I don't think he knows what's going on.
No, no, he's not a very smart man.
I'm not a smart man.
But also, like, even his demeanor, Sipowicz, is like, he's clearly upset and annoyed. You know what I mean? Like, even if you were the jury, like, okay, maybe he's telling the truth, but he's a little upset.
Yeah, that he even has to answer these questions and deal with this, for sure.
For half a second, I thought this was the same bathroom from Liar Liar. It isn't. But...
I thought it was the same bathroom as Devil's Advocate. How did he get a gun in there?
That is a question I also had. How did he slip the gun inside that bathroom?
Have you ever been to a courthouse?
You got to get checked before you walk in.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you're going into like
murder,
a high-profile murder trial.
But that would also mean. Spoilers for what's coming up ahead, but that would also mean, wouldn't they take Sipowicz's gun away?
He's a police officer, he can carry.
Okay.
Police officers can carry in a courthouse.
Okay.
Bailiffs have guns.
It's true. Makes sense.
They can't carry it in prison, I don't think, but they can carry it in a courthouse.
Ah. Yeah, that adds up.
They just had, I think there's a special line for them, if I remember correctly, that they go through and they like take their gun off and they walk through a metal detector, but the gun goes through something else. If I remember correctly, it gets checked from something else. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this is just
myth busted, bitch.
But this is just Sylvia like saying like, yeah, you planned on embarrassing him by bringing him up.
And nothing happened. How do you feel now? Egg on your face.
And then he just straight up says to everybody in the courtroom, he's like, I was hoping he would make an ass out of himself, sir. And I'm sure he will later, but we'll worry about that then.
Yeah, I'll call him at a different time. Because he's got nothing.
A lot of bald dudes. Yeah. A lot of bald representation in this show.
Yeah, dude. Look at Sip's got it.
Sinclair and the other guy. John, nature calls.
Like, I think we're still in the evidence portion, right?
Yeah. Also, he put his bag on the floor of a bathroom.
I mean, at this moment in time, I think it's okay. Like, he thinks this dude's gonna do something really bad, so...
He did it before he noticed the gun. What I'm saying...
Have you ever been inside a court bathroom?
What, are they particularly clean compared to other bathrooms?
Pristine.
Oh, pristine? The halls of justice have to be squeaky clean.
Halls of justice, yeah.
Even where you shit? Whoop. There it is. This scene does go on a little long.
How the fuck did he get that big ass gun in the building?
He transported it in his ass. One piece by one over the last couple days.
Like, I feel like right now this is the most Jimmy Mayo has ever done for his daughter.
You mean besides, like, assaulting her? Because he did admit to that earlier.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that. Why does every deadbeat, like... Anyways.
And that's Stephen Young.
That's the go-to. So he shot John.
He shot John and no one heard the gunshot, which makes me confused.
Oh, Sipowicz's spidey senses went off.
His sippy sense?
Sip a sense, yeah.
and then even he goes up to him, he's like, oh, John Irvin's hurt. And John Irvin doesn't shout, he has a gun, stop him.
Yeah, John Irvin must be like fucking Bruce Willis in Invincible. Like, does he just not feel the pain of the gunshot? Like,
I think he's in shock.
I know, but a lot of people, when they get shot, they go like, ah, 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 like, you know, they're hurt.
So he comes around the corner, slow-mo action scene, NYPD Blue style.
Dude is just, let's be real, Kirk, Jimmy Mayo is just flailing shots.
Oh, he's just throwing them. He's just throwing them anywhere.
He's just... Cock, 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 cock. Like, and the cop in
the bailiff
room, or the bailiff cop, he's, you know, got the stance, you know, he's firing on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see it.
Yeah.
So after this ends, I have a question to ask you, okay?
Is it that does Don McManus deliver the best line of the whole episode, which is, do we have an, someone says, is there an ambulance here because his wife is shot? And then he says, yeah, because I think I'm hit, and he's just in the fetal position on the ground.
Holding his shoulder. That dude's great. I don't care what anyone you say, I don't care what anyone says, that dude's performance is great, because he is... Like, there are people like that in the world that you deal with all the time, and he delivers it perfectly.
All right, we're at the end of the episode.
How devastating is that line, take care of the baby?
Well, I think
she doesn't even give you, as a watcher, she lets you know right then and there, like, oh, I'm gone, bye.
Well, that was the other thing. I don't know for sure if they intended on... I think that there was almost a mystery to it, like, did she actually die? I think she just said that because she thought she was going, and then they were like, the next episode, we're actually going to hit them with the truth. Because I didn't think... The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, well, she's going to pull through. Like, she says, take care of the baby until I get out of the hospital because I just got shot.
Fair enough. I'm coming from a place, like, I knew at some point that she was leaving.
Yeah.
So, like, when that happened, because I remember growing up, like, I don't know, like, just hearing about it, like, that she was leaving the same year that he was, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, when I was watching it and then, like, she got shot, I just knew, I was like, and then she said, take care of the baby. I was like, oh, this is when she leaves. I was like, fuck, dude.
Well, the thing that it did to me for sure was I did not realize, because I haven't watched these all the way through the same way you have, I don't think. I didn't realize that Bobby Simone and Sylvia Costas die in the same season.
Yeah.
So when...
Yeah.
So, but I knew that it happens with a guy bringing a gun to the courtroom. So when Jimmy Mayo started acting all twitchy, I was like, there's no way it's in the same season as when Simone dies. There's no way. There's no way they do that. And then when he's in the bathroom with the gun, I was like, holy shit, they died in the same fucking season? That's crazy. Like, that's horrible for, well, the character of Andy Sipowicz, but it just sucks.
So I knew that she died again. I just didn't know when. And I didn't know that when, like, he was walking out with the gun, I was like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. Like, who's going to, like... Because I didn't know any of the story, so I was thinking, like, oh, is Cullen going to get shot, or is the McManus guy going to get shot, and that's going to fuck up their case? I didn't think, like, this is how Sylvia dies. Mm-hmm. And then it happened, and I was like, oh, and then when she says the line, I was like, oh, fuck, this is her death. Holy shit.
She's gone.
Yeah, immediately when she says, take care of the baby... For some reason, I was like, oh, as a mother, she just knows, like, she's not going to be around.
Yeah, that was... Like, hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Well, he has a kid now, so I doubt he'll ever be on the show again. But Ben Ramirez, who I've done, like, the binging episodes with...
Mm-hmm.
I'm 95% sure he is not ready for that. Like, at all. And he just had a child, so it's going to hit him a lot harder than it would me.
Yeah.
But when we were talking about the, Jimmy Smith's Bobby Simone stuff, he got upset and a little teary when he started thinking about the having a kid aspect of Bobby Simone. Because he found out he was about to have a kid, so he's like, oh my god, I can't imagine if I had to leave before seeing the child. So I was like, and I didn't tell him then, I was like, yeah, but by the way, at the end of this season, imagine losing your wife after you just had that child.
I'm sorry, Ben didn't have a moment knowing that he has a child when Sipowicz had to bury his son.
Well, that it was before they were pregnant.
Okay.
That was before they were pregnant. But he was like, yeah, I started to tear up when he mentioned his son because I'm about to have a kid. And I was like, holy shit. That's how he told me he was going to have a kid, by the way, on the podcast talking about fucking Jimmy Smith's. But I'm very curious if he ends up watching this ever again, if he ever has the time. And just, I imagine I'll get a text like, what the fuck? Sylvia dies too? So I'm like, yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude, all in 1 year.
It's next level.
And don't worry, we're not done.
No, we got one more episode before the end of season 6. Which is a very interesting episode, I think, for a couple different reasons. I did want to mention, because we mentioned that Emil Hirsch was the boy Marcello, but I didn't say what he was in, which was Speed Racer, The Girl Next Door, about a porn star next to your house, which is now just reality, thanks to OnlyFans, and Into the Wild, about a dude who just fucked off into the wilderness, and they were like, hey, let's make a movie about that guy. Okay.
He fucked up in the wilderness, died, and what else happened?
That's it. From what I know, he just went into the wilderness.
Interesting.
Lived in a bus that was abandoned in the wilderness.
Hey, but dude, Eddie Vedder did the soundtrack, so.
Oh, well, worth it. Worth it. And speaking of Pearl Jam, make sure to clean your plates. Anyway, it's been... Do you have anything else to say about this episode that's not plate related?
No, not at all.
Just plate questions.
The only question I have from this plate from this episode is, what's the point of the plate?
Like, what's the point of the plate?
Is it because like I don't get the point of the plate? Just have him have him jerk off into the ground. Have him jerk off into your tub or something. Like, what's the point of the plate? The plate has a significance. What is the significance? I don't get it. It bothers me. Like, it doesn't bother. Well, it bothers me because, one, it's a kid doing it. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Gross. Blah, blah, blah. But, like, it bothers me that, like, the writers were like, oh, no, he has to do it into a plate. Why? I want to know why. Like, why is he doing it into a plate? What's the point of the plate?
I could probably guess that this is just one of those stories from Bill Clark, the consultant on the show, like, where he heard a story from another cop that this happened, and they threw it in because it's interesting, but there's, like, they have no understanding of why it was happening. Just none whatsoever. And that's it.
Living in New York, I could see that.
New York life.
Yeah, I could see that.
All right, well, let's get on to to the end of season 6.
Safe home.
Thank you for making it to the end of the episode, or at least not skipping to the next thing you want to listen to. If you could, please rate and review the show again. It helps people see it in the algorithm, and hopefully more people end up watching NYPD Blue, which is really the only purpose for this at all. Anyway, we are also on Twitter and Instagram, at Asher Bros Pod on Twitter, at Instagram, at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly there to let you know when new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls are coming out, but we'll also talk to you about the episodes. Like, we'll talk to you about NYPD Blue. We love talking about NYPD Blue. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show. There's True Blue, a book written by creators and consultants about the first couple seasons. And then there is the unofficial guide to NYPD Blue written by Gene Kendall on Amazon for, I believe, 99 cents. And that's a steal. So thank you again. Have a good one. Be safe. Make good decisions. Be kind to each other. And keep watching NYPD Blue, for goodness sake.